Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope that you enjoy this message from Michael Salisbury.
Envy's an interesting one. Envy's the opposite to pride. In pride, we look at other people. So don't we kind of wish that we had like these super... I love it when you see like little kids in the supermarket, kids that have obviously refused to go out in anything but their Spider-Man outfit, and their mum's just kind of dragging them along. I always reckon Batman's the cool one. I agree with Batman because Batman's just normal. He doesn't have any power. It could be me. If I had all those cool gadgets, I could be Batman. And maybe I am. But... it's cool. It's great when you're a 4 or 5 or 6 year old to be envious of the man who gets to wear his undies on the outside and fly around. But that whole idea of envy, of wishing that you were someone else, as we get older, gets more and more unhealthy. And so we're going to explore the idea of envy today. I think if we think about a lot of the advertisements that we see, they're based around the concept of envy. They're based around promoting the fact that if you wear those jeans, your bum will look like that, you'll get drive that car, and we all wish that we were that guy over there, so let's go and buy those jeans. And a lot of the advertisements we see, a lot of those kind of things we see are based around the concept of envy, of wishing that we were someone else, of looking at someone else's life, their situation, their circumstances, and going, wow, that I wish that I had that life to live, not my life. And envy... or jealousy, as the Bible talks about it, it's a sin. It's something that weighs us down. If we look at our first scripture, which is Hebrews 12:1, we can see, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So sin's something that weighs us down. And I think especially with something like envy's something that just starts off small. And it just gradually builds and builds and builds. I was thinking that envy and sin in general is kind of like the little hole I had in my tooth throughout the week. And you know when you just know something's not quite right up there? Like, not like you can't stick... I've had a hole in my tooth before that I could fit a kernel of corn in and I knew something wasn't very good there. But you know when you've just got like... You just go, I'm a bit sensitive, not quite right. So I thought, I better go to the dentist. So... I had an appointment, I'm on my way to the dentist, I'm riding along, it's Wednesday afternoon, it's a beautiful day, I'm on my motorbike, my visor's up, I'm enjoying the sunshine, and out of nowhere while I'm riding in the middle of the traffic on North Road, a wasp just goes zoop and flies onto the inside of my helmet and just gets jammed up and stuck, and he's just crawling around on the inside of my helmet, and I can't do anything because I'm riding my bike and there's traffic everywhere, and so I'm just riding going, oh no, just be gentle, be gentle, be gentle, be gentle, and then it decided not going to be gentle, I'm going to be angry, and so it stung me right on the side of my face, and I went, well, it's going to just keep stinging me, so I'm riding along smashing the side of my helmet. Everybody must have thought, who's that madman on his motorbike just abusing himself? So I get to the dentist and my face is already a bit red and welty and sore, which isn't a good start when you go into the dentist. And go to the dentist and the dentist says, well, we've got to take some x-rays and goes, which is never a good sign either. He goes, just as I suspected, you've only got a tiny hole on the outside, but on the inside, your tooth is rotting. So it's rotting from the inside out. So he drills and he fills and he does his thing. I get back on my bike and I ride back to work. So by the time I get back to work, I take off my helmet and it looks like the Elephant Man has had a stroke because I have this giant red welt on the side of my head and my eyes a bit closed over and this side's full of anaesthetic, so it's all hanging down like that and I'm dribbling and I'm just going, man, this is looking not very good at all. And I went, wow, that's what sin likes. It looks like it starts off with a tiny, tiny hole in your tooth. And by the time it comes out, by the time what's on the inside comes out, you look like something that's not very appealing whatsoever. So just keep that in mind as we think about this whole idea of sin. Envy's the desire for other people's stuff. It's the desires for others' traits, for their status, for their abilities, for their situations. Envy's an interesting one because out of all the 7 deadly sins, it's the only one that has no joy in it. So the Bible says... that even sin is pleasurable for a season. And think about the other 7 deadly sins. They all contain some element of instantaneous joy. Pride, who doesn't like to feel good about themselves? gluttony. Who doesn't like to just sit down and smash down a giant, good-tasting meal and then just go, whoa, afterwards? Sloth, who doesn't like to just lie in bed and just not really do very much at times? What about anger? Who doesn't like when that feeling of release when you just lose the plot, that instantaneous release, when you just go ballistic at someone and you just get it off your chest, it just feels so good for a split second. What about greed, just accumulating stuff? There's a certain appeal to just having a whole bunch of stuff. What about lust? We don't even need to explain why lust for a season is enjoyable. But envy, there's no joy in envy. Envy just makes us feel bad about ourselves. Envy or jealousy is the only one of the seven deadly sins that's a Ten Commandment. It says the last commandment is don't covet, don't be jealous, don't wish that other people's stuff was yours. So all the other seven deadly sins bring some form of short-term pleasure, but envy doesn't. It brings no joy, just misery. Henry Fairley says about envy, its appetite is never ceasing, yet its only satisfaction is endless torment. So if envy's so unappealing, why is it so widespread? Why is a society, is everybody consumed with this envious lifestyle? We all wish that we were someone else. We all look around us and go, wow, they've got a better deal than what I've got. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to turn to Matthew 20. And we're going to read one of the parables. And we see the result of envy and what envy does in our life. So Matthew 20, starting from verse 1, says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of an estate who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal day's wages and he sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay whatever was right at the end of the day. At noon, and again at around 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that evening, he was in town again, and he saw more people standing around, and he asked them, 'Why haven't you been working today?' They replied, 'Because nobody hired us.' The owner of the estate told them, 'Then go out and join the others in my vineyard.' That evening he told the foreman, 'Call all the workers in and we will pay them, beginning with the last workers first.' When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wages. When those hired earlier came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a full day's wages. When they received their pay, they protested, 'Those people worked only 1 hour and yet they paid them just as much as you have paid us, who worked all day in the scorching heat.' He answered them, 'Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Just take it and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be angry at me because I am kind?'" So we see these guys who have been hired. They've worked a full day, 10 solid hours out in the field. And they've seen progressively more and more people come out into the field to work. And they see these people rock up at 5 o'clock. They've already been working for 9 hours. They're a bit tired. They're a bit weary. These people rock up. They work for an hour. They go back in to get paid. The people who have been working for an hour go up to get their money. And the people who have been working all day see them get a full day's wages. They must have been thinking, just score. My day has come in, and doing the maths and going, That's like a week's wages I'm going to get equivalently for this one day. And then the master just pays them a normal day's wages. And we see five things that happen when envy rears its ugly head. We see five things that happen because envy comes in and it ruins the worker's joy. It ruins the worker's day. So the first thing that we see envy do is we see envy steals our happiness. All the workers were treated fairly. They all got what they deserved. Some got a little extra. But the ones who had agreed to work for a full day's wages, they were happy up until they started to compare themselves to someone else. They were happy with their day's wages until they looked around and they went, "I think that person's getting a better deal than me." They were happy until they compared their situation with someone else's, and envy robbed them of their joy. Proverbs 14:30 says, A relaxed attitude lengthens life. Jealousy rots it away. Envy will rot away the quality and the quantity of your life. We know from a scientific, a physiological point of view, that people who are envious, people who are jealous, people who are inherently unhappy about their own situation live a poorer quality of life. They suffer from depression more, they suffer from high blood pressure, they suffer from all those associated disorders, apart from the fact they spend their life walking around without a smile on their face. They're so busy worried about what everyone else might be getting that they forget to have a look at what they've already got. The second thing that envy does is it causes conflict. It causes conflict between me and the person that I'm envious of. Maybe it's my partner. Maybe it's a workmate who got a promotion that I thought I deserved. Maybe it's someone at school who's in a better financial position than me. Maybe it's a friend who bought a house that I wish I could buy. But it begins to cause a conflict and a barrier between us and whoever it is that we're envious of. And we need to be able to deal with that. We see in the story, the workers were happy. They were fine. They were all good with the other workers coming along until they became envious of them. And then they developed an attitude. Why do those guys get such a good deal? Look at me. Why am I missing out? Look at what they've got. And look at what little I have. Envy causes conflict. It always amazes me that despite the amazing things that God has given us individually, how often have we, under the banner of praying, complained to God? God, why is it that, you know, like I wish I had the stuff that they have, or why do I have to do this when they get to do that? Oh, I just saw that they got a new car and I haven't got a new car, or why did they get to get whatever it is? And we call it praying, but it's not really, it's just whinging. And God must go, seriously, have you not seen what you've got? Have you not seen what I've already done for you? We see in the story that envy causes the workers to develop an attitude towards their boss, the owner of the fields. This barrier begins to develop to them. They get bitter towards that owner. You're not fair to us. And the transition to our life is that when we look and when we are envious, we're saying to God, God, it's not fair. Why are you giving other people more stuff than me? The truth is, none of us deserve anything. None of us have done anything significant enough in our life to deserve God's blessing, let alone our salvation. But he gives it to us. And we have the tenacity to go to God and go, God, it's not fair. It's more than fair. We are more than blessed in our life. Envy causes us to resent others. James 4:2 says you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. We see in number 3 that envy makes me a resentful person. In our story, it causes the workers who had worked all day to be resentful, not only towards the other workers, but towards the owner of the fields. Maybe envy would cause me to resent someone who can play beautiful music, maybe sing really well, that someone that has a, not that I can sing very well, not, and so it takes something that's beautiful, it takes something that's a talent, and it ruins it because I become envious of it. So instead of just sitting and appreciating and going, wow, Andrew, that was great singing, that was just, you know, really good, the way that you just led us in worship, I sit there and I go, I wish I could do that. Titus 3:3 says, our lives are full of envy and resentment. We hated others and they hated us. When we start comparing ourselves to other people, we're going to come out poorly. And then when that happens, envy becomes part of your life. You become resentful, you become bitter, and other people will begin to notice that. And I've got to be honest, no one wants to hang out with someone who's one of those, why do they get that people? And you just come across as a victim. It's a pathetic way to live your life. You've got to get how much God has blessed you as individuals. We don't want a church of envious people. We're all incredibly blessed. We're incredibly blessed as a church and as individuals. The fourth thing that envy does is it leads to other sins. One of the big dangers of the seven deadly sins is they're kind of the precursor to other greater things. So it kind of takes us, especially something like envy, it takes us, and when we become envious and when we can become consumed by it, we end up doing things that we'd never normally do. We can see right from the start of the Bible, Cain was envious of Abel and he killed him. Jacob, envious of Esau and he stole his birthright. Joseph's brothers were so envious of the treatment that Joseph received that they sold their own brother into slavery. What about King Saul? Incredibly envious and jealous of David, and his whole life became consumed with trying to kill him. James 3:6 says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil practices." The fifth thing that envy does is it distracts me from God's purpose in my life. Listen to this. Envy says, "God, I believe that the life that you have planned out for someone else is better than the life that you have planned out for me." When you become envious of someone, you're saying to God, "You obviously like them more, you love them more, because you've given them a better plan for their life than you have for me." Envy is a bit like Jessie, my daughter, and television. When the telly's on, Jessie, completely distracted. Does not hear a word that I say. Misses the point completely. I could be running around with my undies on my head, which happens a little bit at my house, I've got to be honest. And Jessie, completely oblivious. I can be going, Jessie. Just zoned in to the tally. And that's what envy does to us. We get so focused on other people's stuff, on other people's lives, that we miss the fact that God's not running around with his undies on his head, but he's going, "Hey, Michael, I want to get your attention. Michael. And we're completely zoned out to it because we're so focused on other people and what they have. Envy makes us pursue a life that we were never meant to create, or we were never meant to live. When we become envious, when we become jealous, when I try and get what someone else has got, that's not the life I'm meant to live. It's like trying to put a square peg in a round hole. It just doesn't quite work. And we miss out on the stuff that God has for us. Psalm 37:8 says, "Don't envy others. It only leads to harm." Mark Twain said, "A man will do many things to get himself loved, but he will do all things to get himself envied." So how do we avoid the trap of envy? It's such an easy habit to slip into. How do we avoid it? Well, the first thing that we need to do is we need to stop comparing ourselves to other people. Which is easier said than done, I understand. But nothing good comes from comparing yourself to others. Only two things can happen. One, you compare yourself with others and we go, "Going pretty good." And then you're proud. Or two, you compare yourself with others and you go, "Oh, a bit average me in my life." And then you wish I was their life, and then you become envious. So nothing good is ever going to come out of comparing yourself to others. And it's hard. I realise, I get it. I'm a pretty competitive person. Everything's competition. Whenever I'm driving on the road, I pick another car. Just need to make sure I beat that car. Even though they don't know they're in the race, it's a race. Sitting there eating dinner with my wife, make sure I just finish first, put my foot, done, I won. It's a very relaxing way to live your life, I've got to be honest. But one of the dangers, and this is being perfectly honest, one of the dangers of being a competitive person is that you constantly end up striving to be in front. Constantly end up comparing yourself to others. And I know I shouldn't, but I find it incredibly hard not to. Even though other people don't know they're in a competition with me, they are. All of you. At the moment, we're in a competition. I'm at the front, so I'm winning at the moment. It's okay. See, this competitiveness, this desire to strive and achieve and stuff, it can be a really healthy catalyst for growth and development. But when it begins to consume you, it becomes so unhealthy to the point where I'll admit at times I've secretly just clapped a little bit inside when someone else has failed. I didn't think that bit would be funny, but that's okay. Where that just puts me a little bit ahead. when I found myself beginning to be consumed with envy. We work in an interesting industry where I work in an industry that I spend my time with people who make more money in a year than I'll probably make in a lifetime. And the interesting thing about it is from the outside, they're a bit like my tooth. They look pretty fantastic. Pretty good. Wouldn't mind living that life. Wouldn't mind driving those cars. Wouldn't mind having those 19 houses. But on the inside, once you get to know them, once you get to talk to them, I just go, oh Lord, you God, you are good to me. And that's one of the dangers. When we compare ourselves to others, we just see the external shop front. We don't actually know what's going on in their life. And the life that they live, you probably don't actually even want to live. So we need to stop comparing ourselves to others. Because no matter how blessed you are, no matter how good you've got it, if you want to, you'll always find someone to be envious of. It is an insatiable quest to be on. So if I want to overcome envy, I must first stop comparing myself to others. And I have to start being thankful for who I am and what I have. We need to start thanking God for what I have rather than looking at what other people have. For some of you today, you might need to do what I've had to do in the past, which is literally sit down and begin to write out the blessings that God has given you, the things that He is good for. I found at times that's the only way to calm my head is to just sit and begin to list them. And when you begin to list them and you begin to see this just growing list on the page of God's good things in my life, then it is astounding. And you can't help but be thankful. I always find it interesting that when people sort of do that, oh, well, it's all right for you. Oh, it's all right for you to say that stuff because you've got this. Or it's all right for you to, you know. The thing with envy is you don't know the life that person's lived. And we can go, oh, it's all right for Pastor Phil. You know, he's got a nice job, he's the head of the church and got his car and his house and da-da-da. But you don't know the life that Phil's had to live. I can tell you, almost none of you here would actually want to have to do what he's had to do to get this place to where it is. Because you don't see the hard work, you don't see the struggles, you don't see the challenges. You just see the external shop front and you go, oh wow, I wouldn't mind that. You've got to stop comparing yourself to others. You've got to be thankful for what God has done. You need to express thanks to the very God that you're upset with. The third thing you need to do is you need to show kindness to the person that you envy. Which are not always easy or pleasant. Not what we really want to do, is it? Person that we're a bit jealous of, go and do something nice for them. Because it's not like they really need it anyway, is they? Like we said at the start, we're into the whole replacement style ministry. So we want to take away one virtue, which is envy, and we want to replace it with something else. It's opposing virtue, which is kindness. If I want to overcome envy, I need to show kindness to the people that I'm envious of. The person that got the job that I wanted to get, I need to go and genuinely congratulate them for that. I need to go and help the person who moved into the house that I can't afford to buy. I need to go and help them move in, be kind, help them out. Whatever it is. You need to show kindness to the one that you envy. No matter how hard or unpleasant it may seem. What about that expression that, you know, they killed me with kindness? What if this week, from this point, you made it your job to try and kill your envy with kindness to those that you were jealous of? For our goal this week, the goal out of this message is to train ourselves, to discipline ourselves, and to learn to be content with my status, my traits, my abilities, and my situation. And that's not to say that we don't actively work on improving ourselves, improving our situation, improving our relationship with God. That's not to say that we can't go to God and go, God, I'm really believing that I'm going to get a breakthrough in this area. God, I've seen what you've done in someone else's life, and that's amazing, and I thank you for the breakthrough that you gave that person. And I believe that the same power that caused that can be activated in my life. So we want to constantly be pursuing growth and development in all areas of our life. Let's not be a church that's, you know, just stagnant, that just sits there and just goes, oh, this is all right. We're in a pretty good spot. We want to constantly be growing and developing as people. But at the same time, being content with what God has given us, with the blessings and the goodness that we have already received. The secret, I think, to contentment is having something that no one can better. And the Bible says contentment and happiness and security comes out of a relationship with God. True contentment comes from knowing that God uniquely created you, that He specifically designed a plan for your life, that He spent time just sitting and planning out your future just for you. And true contentment comes in living that life, in experiencing the God that loves you more than anybody else. There's no need for envy when that happens, because you begin to live and understand the great plan that God has for us.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you enjoyed the message. Be sure to tune in next time as we continue our series on the seven deadly sins.